live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this fifth day of November 2025. This is actually an unexpected blessing to have a live show today. We had everything set for a rerun because we did not know if we were going to be successfully hooking up with my guests in Nigeria today. But thanks be to God, he smiled upon us with his good providence, and we were able to successfully make the internet connection with my two guests today, one a returning guest and one a first-time guest. We're going to be talking about a very important issue that has become more and more the discussion on the media, and that is in regard to the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. And today to discuss that is Pastor Austin Huggins, who is on a mission trip right now in Nigeria. He is the pastor of Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida, which is the home of the world-renowned Chapel Library. And he is also the vice president of First Love Ministries. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Austin Huggins.
Thank you, Brother Chris. It's good to be with you.
And we also have on the program somebody who has been a longtime listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in our audience in Nigeria. He used to communicate with us quite often and email questions to guests and so on. And I'm so thrilled to finally have him on the program as a guest for the very first time. And I know I'm going to probably butcher his name, since even though he already coached me briefly on how to pronounce it, but I will give it a shot. His name is Osinachi Enuoku. And he's covering his face like I really just horribly mispronounced his name. And he is the pastor of Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Nigeria. And it's a joy to have you with us for the first time, Pastor Osinachi.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's good to be here. You didn't do too badly with the name.
And Pastor Austin, first of all, briefly, if you could describe all of these wonderful organizations that you are a primary part of, and we'll start with the Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah, Brother Chris, thank you. I pastor Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida, Christ-centered, Reformed Confessional Church, 1689. Precious brothers and sisters in Christ, we're the home of Chapel Library, where we have the privilege of sending Christ-centered literature from prior centuries around the world, free of charge, in about 100 different nations. And I'm also the vice president of First Love Ministries, with particular emphasis in the mission side as the Africa coordinator.
Amen. Well, let me give the websites for these fine organizations. First of all, Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida, can be found at mountzion.org. That's M-O-U-N-T, the full spelling of the word mount, not an abbreviation. M-O-U-N-T, zion.org. And Chapel Library can be found at chapellibrary.org. Chapellibrary.org. The listeners of Iron Sharpen Zion Radio should recognize Chapel Library immediately because I frequently plug them because they have so many valuable resources that are not only extremely valuable, but extremely inexpensive. And we also have firstloveministries.org. And if, in case you don't know it, First Love Ministries is the parent ministry of First Love Radio, which live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. Well, as I was saying, we also have on the program Osinachi Nwoko, who is the pastor of Sovereign Grace Bible Church of Nigeria in Lagos, Nigeria. And if you could, Osinachi, give us a summary description of that church.
Well, the Sovereign Grace Bible Church is a confessional Reformed Baptist church. It just turned 23 years a couple of days ago. So it has been in existence for 23 years after it was planted in 2002. We've actually got three elders. I'm one of three pastors, not the only pastor of the church. We have a growing membership. And in the Lord's kindness, we have been helped to plant several churches across the southern part of Nigeria. I'm praying that we may do some more. I also serve with Akrai as a missionary there. So I'm an elder of the church, but also a missionary with Akrai because they support some of the work that we're doing right here in Lagos and in Nigeria. So, yeah, that's about the church. We've got several ministries. We are particularly focused on campus ministries and training men and training men for future ministry work. And there are also other things as well.
Well, the website for Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos, Nigeria is sgbc.ng for Nigeria.
Yep.
sgbc.ng. And by the way, am I pronouncing Lagos correctly?
Lagos. Well, the Portuguese will say Lagos, but it's anglicized since we're English speaking, so we say Lagos.
Okay, Lagos.
The Lagos is English, yeah.
Yeah, and Lagos in America are things that little children play with to build things with little building blocks that stick together and cause agony on any parent that steps on them with bare feet. But as I said, I believe I told you before the program started live that we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, Osinachi. Whenever we have a first-time guest, such as yourself, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, and that would include the religious atmosphere in which you were raised as a child, if any, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So I'd love to hear a summary of your story, brother.
Well, thank you. The Lord saved me in 2007 in his kindness. I grew up in a nominal Christian home, that's how I describe it. But dad was nominal Roman Catholic, mom was very charismatic. So there was that sense of the Lord. But I had no interest in the things of the Lord.
Wow.
It wasn't until 2007 that the Lord began to work in my heart. And I was, from the beginning of the year, I was in a church where the order of the day was to have altar call. I think there must have gone up about six altar calls. I kept doing that to my sin, but So I wasn't converted, but I sort of desired the Lord. And I think eventually it was in September of that year that I heard the gospel in a church that I left not long afterwards, and came to faith in Christ, and I knew that I was saved that day. I was involved in a number of things that were unsavory or were unsavory. And the Lord helped me after my conversion to turn away from those things. And then serving on the course on which I'm still walking. So that's a nutshell of the story.
Now, how did you discover Reformed theology?
Okay, so that's interesting. I would say two pieces of literature. We started with A.W. Tozer's Worship and Entertainment. This was in 2008.
Wow.
The first half of the year. And then not long after that, Spurgeon's Morning and Evening Devotion. So those two pieces of literature essentially just turned my world upside down, because prior to that time, all I listened to, all I read, but Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, went into Bynum's, this mega pastors and pastresses in the United States. But those two pieces of literature led me to start asking serious questions. And those questions eventually led me to leave my church. And for 2 months, I was floating. I didn't find a church that was suitable. I didn't really know the word reform. You know, all I asked for was a Christ-centered church. But by this time, because of Spurgeon, reading Spurgeon fairly frequently, I had known of A.W. Pink. And so I spent 2 months reading both A.W. Pink and Charles Spurgeon. And it was during this period that a friend invited me to the Lagos Bible Conference. That's a conference that has brought Austin here to Nigeria. So Lagos Bible Conference 2008. I missed the conference, but Pastor Joe Jackowitz was in the country for the conference. I missed the conference, but the tract that was given to me when I was invited had the address of Sovereign Grace Bible Church at its old location. And so I made my way to the church, and the rest, as they say, is history. So I embraced the teachings. But if I was to tie a formal period when I would say I embraced what it is to be reformed, I would say it was months after I had come to the church, when I was given Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink. And I read the book, and after that, I was reformed from reading that book. So that's the story. So that's 2007 conversion. 2008/2009, embracing Reformed theology. And I've been in the same church since then and became a pastor in 2019.
And how did you realize that God had placed a call upon your life to enter into pastoral ministry?
So I would say it was even before I became reformed. From the moment I was converted, I went to evangelize. I joined with a number of young people who were, in hindsight, were zealous without knowledge. And I just felt that compulsion to want to share the gospel. And so I would go to secondary schools. These are like high schools for you guys in the United States. And I'll share the gospel, whatever I thought I was sharing at the time. But I did that pretty frequently. And then when the Lord brought me out of that and established my feet firmly in His word, and I was growing, I wanted to serve. So it was more an inclination to serve, be available to serve. And even my own career path, I didn't pursue what I initially wanted to pursue, so that I would be available to serve. So from the beginning, I sort of felt that I had teaching gifts. I wasn't sure I wanted to be a pastor, but I knew I wanted to be available to teach when I asked to do so. So I joined a Sunday school. I was teaching teenagers. I started with Pilgrim's Progress. And eventually, I was told to lead Bible studies. But that desire was growing in me. And I let my pastors know that it was a desire. I wasn't sure how it was going to play out. I wasn't sure when it was going to happen. But I had a desire for the ministry. I even told my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, that if the Lord calls me, I wouldn't say no. So fast track 2019, and the elders approached me and said that they think the Lord might be calling to ministry. I should go back and pray. And I did. And he only confirmed what desire I had born within me all this while. And my wife was very much on board. I believe that the Lord was calling me as well. And so I accepted the call to the pastorate of our local church, where I'm still a pastor.
Now, I don't know if this is still the case, but I believe a number of years ago, you told me that Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos, Nigeria, it was, at that time anyway, the only confessional Reformed Baptist church in Nigeria. Is that still the case?
I'm not sure I said only. I think at the time there were two churches.
One of the only.
Yeah, so one of two churches at the time. Reformed Baptist. Not just Reformed churches, Reformed Baptist churches specifically. Yes, it was one of two. But there are a couple of others now.
But it's more than a couple.
Yeah.
Well, let's pray that we hear the good news that there are many more springing up. I'm so excited to see the work that my dear friend since 1996, Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. I'm so delighted to hear about all the Reformed Baptist churches that congregation is planting all over the place. And it's just a thrill. Have you ever met and had any communication with Conrad?
I have met him a few times. He has spoken at our conference in Lagos. I have spoken with him at another conference in Abuja, which is the capital of the country. I have been to Zambia a few times when I attended the Zambia Reformed Conference. And I'm one of the directors of African Pastors Conference at the moment, so I dialogue with him fairly often because he's a director as well.
And by the way, before I forget to announce to my listeners the good news, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, for the second time, will be my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon speaker on Thursday, March 5th. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Everything is free, not only the food and your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach, but also every man in attendance will receive a heavy sack of free brand new books. And I'm sure this will be no exception from years past, but First Love Publishing is going to have a table there, as they always do, to give away their own free books. So if you would like to register for that free pastor's luncheon, if you are a man in ministry leadership, just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and tell me your name, the name and location of the church you represent, and the number of men who will be joining you. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Dr. Mbewe will also be speaking the night before the luncheon at the church where I am a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And that will be Wednesday, March the 4th at 7 p.m., and everyone is welcome to that meeting. That's every man, woman, and child is welcome to that meeting on Wednesday, March the 4th, 7 p.m. at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. For more details on the luncheon, I go to ironsharpensironradio.com, and you will see a flyer at the very top of the page. For more details on the speaking engagement at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, go to trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. But we're going to return from our first commercial break, and when we do, we're going to get more into the heart of our reason for this interview today, and that's to talk about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. In fact, I know that while I was waiting to connect with these two guests on the internet for the interview, they were just having a meeting with persecuted Christians there in Nigeria. We'll hear more about that specific meeting as well. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. You may remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guests today are Pastor Austin Huggins of Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida, also the Vice President of First Love Ministries. And we also have a pastor, Osinachi Nwoko, who is the pastor of Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos, Nigeria. We are talking about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. And if you could, perhaps we'll start with Pastor Osinachi. When did this persecution of Christians, especially at the scale that it's currently occurring, when did this occur? Was this a recent phenomenon, or is this a very old phenomenon that has been going on for quite a while?
Where's the later? It's not a recent occurrence. I think it's as old as this country is.
Wow.
But it is getting interest at the moment because when the United States takes interest in something, then the world knows, I suppose. But it's been there. It's been there since we gained independence from England in 1960. And it has ebbed and flowed as time has gone on, but it has always been there.
So are you saying that there was benefit to not being independent from England? If you're saying that the persecution by the Muslims began when you had your independence, was that go ahead.
I mean, I believe in the Lord's providence. So we are a country because the Lord wanted us to be a country. But it's just speaking from just a human standpoint, I think there are good grounds to say that we shouldn't have emerged into a country, that the North would have been better served being on their own, and the Christians would, the quote-unquote Christian South would have been better served being on their own, because it wasn't long after independence that we had our civil war. And it was, while it was along tribal lines mostly, it was also along the religious lines of this country. Because the North is predominantly Muslim, the South is predominantly Christian. So that's what I would say. There are calls for the nation to split, but it's not likely that would happen given the way we're interwoven with each other.
Now, can you tell us what is actually physically happening that would be described as persecution to the Christian people of Nigeria?
Well, what is happening is it's violence, it's killings, it's murder, it's kidnappings in the northern region and the middle region of the country. That's the persecution that they face by Islamist insurgents, Boko Haram and offshoots of Boko Haram, and other Muslim groups, Fulani herdsmen. The number of groups, there some even unknown, some whose name we do not know. So that's the nature of the persecution. They are systematically targeting communities, targeting individuals, targeting churches, targeting clergymen, making laws in certain parts of the country to suppress Christians, universities, halls of power, and so on and so forth. So the persecution is real. It doesn't get as much, it doesn't come across for some people as that, because it tends to be the rural areas when it comes to the actual violence. But in terms of other forms of persecution, denying they have jobs and certain services, that is felt in the cities, because that's where you would have your middle class and your educated folks stay. But in terms of the violence, you have that in rural areas.
Now, are you talking about dozens, hundreds, or thousands of people being murdered by terrorists?
Well, if you compute the figures, we're getting to thousands.
Wow.
Yes, we're getting to thousands.
Every year.
Yeah, every year. Just today, some of these things we can't verify specifically, but in terms of the numbers, but hundreds are killed in some instances, you know, by a single attack. You know, sometimes they're in their 10s, their 20s, and so on and so forth. But they run into the thousands.
And Pastor Austin Huggins, I know that you, as I said earlier, had a meeting today with some person, some persecuted Christians over there in Nigeria. Tell us about that meeting.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some elements of it that, of necessity, have to remain quiet.
Of course.
But I can say, just echoing some of the things Pastor Osinachi said, you know, a lot of this started a long time ago. It started in the rural areas and in the interior villages very far. But now, every single day, there is a systematic progression closer and closer, even into the cities. And I had one of the underground leaders essentially tell me that the numbers that are coming out right now in terms of the number murdered are probably not even half of the real numbers.
Wow.
I think the last numbers that came out that were recently released publicly were 7,000 Christians were martyred just this past year. And so if that's accurate, then he's talking, you know, 14,000, 15,000 by his estimates. But you have a widespread aspect of these Fulani herdsmen coming in, kidnapping, holding people for ransom, entire families, young children, besides Boko Haram, abducting children and things like that. And it's a profiting scheme as well as persecution. He pointed out, he said, not all persecution, just like Osi said, is purely violent. Some of it is economical. Some of it is political. And so if they can enact, as we heard up in, you know, some northern regions, you know, enact Sharia law and put taxes on non-Christians, you know, that's something that there are certain groups and sects that are willing to move in that direction and to do that. But the kidnapping has been incredibly high and off the charts. And some of those young people who come back from being kidnapped, sometimes for months, are absolutely traumatized and PTSD, for lack of a better word, because they're witnessing killings and atrocities while they're kept sometimes out in the remote jungles, sometimes out in other areas. It's hard to put into words. It's a real tragedy. This isn't a political, you know, mainstream news media spin. There is real
brothers and sisters in Christ, really being persecuted, really being kidnapped, really being killed, really being maimed, some of them hands and arms cut off, some of them tortured in other ways, some of them beat with metal rods. It's really happening, and there's not a lot of voice for them. Like OC said, this has been going on for quite a long time. We're not even in necessarily a unique peak in the violence right now. It's just that right now it's finally getting some attention.
Now, what is the, perhaps I'll ask Glossinatri this, what is the percentage of the Nigerian population that is Islamic and versus the Christian population?
Well, I recall the data puts Islam at about 48, 49%, and then Christians at about 46, 47%. But here's the problem. Here's some of these things. When you're in a situation like ours, sometimes one appears partisan, right? But I think there's good reason to believe that the numbers of Muslims are being overhyped for certain reasons, because it plays into the political narrative that some are trying to pursue. So it's good to, but on the whole, we can say that they're roughly the same. And we're looking at a country of over 200 million people.
Wow. Now, what, obviously this would be an estimate, but to, from your understanding, what percentage of the Muslim population is in full-on agreement with this persecution of Christians? Are there any crying out against this? Perhaps many even Muslims are too afraid to do that, but tell us about that.
Okay, so we have, in the north, we have Sunni Muslims that dominate the landscape, and then we have a small percentage of Shiite Muslims. The Sunni Muslims do maltreat the Shiite Muslims, the way you have your Saudi Arabia and Iran or situation in Iraq. But both groups are radical, by and large, I would say.
Both groups are what? I'm sorry?
So they have, are radical.
Okay.
Yes, excellent. And they do have the adherent, because when you have those that are educated and they are the elite, they don't get into the muck of what is going on, but you can obviously tell that they're supported by their silence, you know, and they certainly support behind the scenes. Now, if you come to the southwestern part of the country, these are Yoruba, and they have a good chunk of Muslims as well, but they are not exactly that like the north. So they're not that radicalized like the north. Some of them are syncretic. They mix Christianity and other things. And so you have that difference. So they do not, that's where you can live in the southwest and you don't live in it. So they're not that rampant. They have their own way when they're in power to persecute Christians, deny them of certain things. But when it comes to actual violence and killing and kidnapping, there's that Islamist agenda, jihad, that's absent from the southwest. So if we look at that division, then we would say that it's hard to pin down a percentage, because even amongst the north, the you have people that want peace, you have people that want to thrive economically, you know, and they don't want their hands in any of this. But it's fair to say that there's a good chunk of people from academics all the way down to the government who are behind this. Because even Boko Haram was started it had its founding amongst people in power, you know, and people behind the scenes who are orchestrating these things. So it does have a good deal of support. But can we tell the specific percentage or number? That's always hard to tell.
And Pastor Austin, from what you have learned being there in Nigeria on your mission trip, is this terrorism? And of course, nobody who is the victim of terrorism could be said to be guilty of bringing it upon themselves. Obviously, we would never want to give the impression about anybody who's the victim of a terrorist attacks that it's their fault or anything like that. But are these basically unprovoked attacks by sheer virtue of the fact that these individuals being persecuted and slaughtered are Christian? Is that really the only reason?
In the supermajority, in almost every case, yes. So what you have here is a purposeful intention of the, as Pastor Osi said, in the North, the Islamic and the Middle Belt community, to push into regions. For instance, there's a particular state in the Northeast that is actually predominantly Christian. And you would think that they would be exempt from a lot of the kinds of things we're talking about here. But what you'll have is you'll have radical Islam, radicalized Islamic Fulanis come in, and they will attack the village. They will burn down the crops. They will, even if they're not going to use it, even if, you know, they're not taking it, they're not stealing it, but they're burning it down. They're running people out of their homes, kidnapping whom they can kidnap, shooting who they can shoot. They all flee. There was one man who I found out from someone else. He went back into the village a couple days later just to try and untie his goats and his animals so that they could feed so that they wouldn't die. Well, whenever he went back, the Fulani caught him. They killed him and his son.
Wow.
And so once they get run out of a location, they become displaced peoples. And one of the ways that the government, I can't get into that too much, but right now, these IDP displacement camps are kind of like a temporary location where they are kind of, they come together. There's not a lot of provision for them even when they come together. But if they try to return to their land, if they try to return to their village, they cannot because the Fulani have overtaken it. And that's the systematic progression. They are actively taking land. They are actively taking villages. They are setting up their own villages in the place of where the old ones used to be. And they are systematically pushing Christians out. In one state, I wish I could remember which one it was, but I was told there were 100-something churches, I want to say 10 years back. And of those, 90% have been destroyed. I don't remember exactly what state that was in. But no, this is not unprovoked. This is not returning aggression for aggression. This is the systematic invasion, pushing out dominance. This is a Sharia law mentality of conquer and take over.
Now, from what you know, as far as the global response by Muslims to this, is it silence? Is it joining with non-Muslims in anger and disgust and horror, or is it support? What's going on as far as your understanding, if any, of the global Muslim response to this?
Well, so far, I haven't had any global Muslim response to the situation in the country. I haven't had one. And I think that'll be, even at the height of Boko Haram, you know, you didn't hear anything about Muslims outside the country, you know, lending their voices, urging peace, and so on and so forth. And so at the moment, there's none of that, because our government is denying what is going on. And if they do that, then why would government from outside and let the Muslims lend their voices? But I haven't heard anything.
Okay, we have a listener named RJ in White Plains, New York. RJ asks, have any of the Muslims that you're aware of in Nigeria taken notice to the threats of President Trump to send the troops to Nigeria, guns ablazing, to bring an end to the persecution of Christians.
Posting.
Well, everybody has heard. The only action that I had today, in keeping with Trump's threats, are that some people have they have put travel plans on hold in certain parts of the country because those are hot spots that if Trump was going to bomb the place, it would be those areas, essentially. But besides that, it's all about the news, the local news, everybody's discussing it. I don't know that anybody is, you know, shaking in their boots over what they think might happen. I think many believe that it is not going to happen, that he just lost that. And there are others who would like to see some actually take action, contrary to what our leaders are saying.
Now, you're saying that there are others who want Trump to take action. I'm assuming you're talking about non-Muslims or Christians.
Of course, yes, non-Muslims, yes.
Now,
not all, but a good chunk of non-Muslims.
Now, I know that you can't read minds or hearts, but do you know if some of this unconcerned response to the threats of President Trump has to do with the suicidal mindset of Islamic terrorism, where, you know, Muslim terrorists believe that they will be rewarded in the afterlife for their participation in jihad and for the death that they bring about of non-believers and so on, and the persecution. Does that have anything to do with it? Or is it just, as you were saying before, a disbelief that Trump will actually put his money where his mouth is, as they say?
Yeah. Well, you know, what you said is not outside the realm of possibility. I think that the Muslims, these militants, would consider it a badge of honor in their minds that the United States will attack them. And then they can say that, like Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and so on and so forth, they have had encounters with the Muslim, with the West and with the United States, the powerful United States. And I think that many of them would actually, yes, look forward to that. But besides that, which is just conjecture, I think many people think Trump is, I mean, the view of Trump is that he's the one who likes to talk. Right. And so on that basis, they feel that he's just talking. So I think that's what both the government and the Muslims believe. Whilst there are non-Muslims who are hopeful that he would actually keep to his word.
And we have a listener in Brooklyn, New York, Carmine, who wants to know, do you, Osinachi, know anybody personally who has perished from the terrorism of Muslims there?
I don't know anybody personally who has perished, but I know persons who have relatives, brothers, siblings that have perished, yes. I haven't had anybody personally that I know kidnapped, but I know people who have had family members kidnapped.
And as far as
people close to me,
as far as Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos, has that church experienced yet any kind of terrorism or persecution?
Well, no, we have not. We're in Lagos, and Lagos is far removed from where these things are taking place.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God for that. And Pastor Austin, I don't know if I am covering most of what you would like me to discuss with you today, but if I have forgotten to bring something up, please bring it to our attention now.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. I appreciate that. I think the main thrust here is, and this came when speaking with Pastor Osinachi, a couple of the other Reformed Baptist leaders,
including some of the persecuted Christians that we've met and discussed with. You know, in light of the attention, it seemed profitable to them that, I mean, when you called out of the blue, that was a really unexpected message, Chris. So we took that from the Lord. I ran it by the other brethren to see what they thought, and they thought it would be good to go ahead and say, hey, here's an insider's look on some things. Obviously, we have to be very careful about what we say and about certain locations, but we can definitely confirm the killings are real, the terrorism is real, the threat against our brothers and sisters in Christ is real. It is bound up in many areas and a lot of tribal identity, but there is definitely killings and persecution and even jihad going on, and even greater degrees than what is being reported. Now, with that being said, the saints back home need to be praying for their brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews to remember those who are bound as though bound with them. I mean, there are moms, there are children who are, while we're talking, they're buried somewhere in a jungle. They've been there for weeks, sometimes months. They don't know if their family is going to be able to get the ransom price up high enough to satisfy the Fulani or Boko Haram to be able to return them. And even if they get a sizable chunk of it, there's nothing saying that the Muslims will honor their word and not inevitably kill these people as well. I mean, if you could imagine a family, an entire village displaced, you, your home, your neighbors, your world, and you're lying out in an open field, barely able to cover yourself. The children are getting emaciated. They have ulcers from poor nutrition. The boys, the young boys, are just taking up just a hatchet, whatever they've got. They don't have guns, just trying to walk the perimeter and do security at night. They need, they're eating handfuls of dry rice, unable to cook it, because they just don't have any facility. They have no way to take care of their own hygiene. This is not one little camp. This is widespread. And, you know, we're obviously, Pastor Osanashi works with Far Cry, and, you know, there's discussions that I can't really go into, but there are brothers who are beginning to get their eyes and ears on the ground. For our brothers and sisters back home, the number one most important thing you can do, and this comes directly from the persecuted saints, when I ask what is the first thing before anything else, what do you need? And I was asking in the context of what can we give you? And he answered, he said, the number one thing we need from you is to pray that God would give us courage. That was the number one first priority thing above everything else.
In fact, pick up where you left off there on the courage, on the request for prayers for courage of the Christians in Nigeria. When we come back from our midway break, and if you'd like to join us, folks, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms, We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. Before I return to my conversation with Pastor Austin Huggins and also Pastor Osinachi Enuoko about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria, I just have some important reminders to our listeners. Please, folks, if you really love the show, we are in great need of your financial help because we lost two of our major financial supporters, one being Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, whose bookstore permanently closed their doors several weeks ago, and they were one of our largest financial supporters. And we've lost another, and there's a third that we possibly may lose. So we really need your help. If you love the show and want it to continue to exist, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, I want to remind you that I never want anybody, as urgently as we need your financial help, I never want anybody to cut into the finances that you have set aside specifically for your giving to your own local church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us financially. Please never do that. Never give your own church less money than you normally give to your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and want it to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida, or Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos, Nigeria, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I have helped many people in our audience in all parts of the globe find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even within just a few minutes from where they live, and that may be you too. So if you are without a church home, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" on the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to my guests, Pastor Austin Huggins and Pastor Osinachi Nwoko, about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. And let's see, we do have another listener question for you both. We have Floyd in Narragansett, Rhode Island. And Floyd says, I know for a matter of fact that even though Muslims hold to very strict moral and sexual ethics, for some bizarre reason, the terrorist element among them sees no problem with raping women as they persecute those who are not their fellow Muslims. Is that kind of horrific thing going on there, too, in Nigeria?
Yeah, rape are certainly be part of it. Forced marriages in some instances as well.
Forced marriages? Is that what you said?
Yes. Well, young girls have been kidnapped by Boko Haram and been made to marry their fighters. So, yes.
Wow.
It's part of it. So.
Wow, that's horrible. Before we go any further, I forgot that I wanted you, Pastor Austin, to pick up where you left off. On the brother in Christ from Nigeria who was requesting specifically for prayer for courage, if you could pick up where you left off there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he was praying that the saints back home would keep them in prayer here, chiefly that they would have courage to be able to face the things that are in front of them right now, to encourage the brothers and sisters back home in that prayer. This man has many times looked his, you know, wife and children in the eyes and saying, you know, I'm headed out to do the work. And they said, are you coming back? And he says, well, you know where I'm going, so only the Lord knows. All I know is I'm going. And in the labors, there are Muslims coming to faith in Christ.
Hallelujah.
All of this catastrophe. Yes, there are even Fulani herdsmen that are coming to faith.
Wow.
In Christ.
And those are the primary persecutors, you're saying?
In this particular instance, in these localities, yes. I mean, there are men. I want you to visualize this in your mind for a moment. There are men who are out and out, unapologetic, Christians, evangelists, pastors, walking directly up to the faces of Boko Haram, making no bones about who they are, trying to evangelize them.
Wow.
And it is that kind of Holy Spirit-birthed superhuman tenacity that has, in many epochs and episodes of the church's history, throughout church history, been the means by which some of the greatest demonstrations of God's work in the earth and the promulgation of the gospel to the nations and the planting of churches in the most unlikely of places has been achieved and has occurred.
Praise God. Now, when you think about how often many of us who are in relative and comparative luxury here in the United States, how much of us keep our mouths shut when it comes to the Christ we allegedly love and the gospel we allegedly put our hope and trust in, we keep our mouths shut out of mere embarrassment or not wanting to hurt people's feelings and all these ridiculous, trivial reasons that we deny Christ, and yet you have these people facing what could be certain death in Nigeria, evangelizing to enemies who are persecuting the very people that these evangelists claim to be representative from.
You know, he said, it's very profound. When someone will be attacked, they will be themselves kidnapped. They will be in some way wounded or hurt. And then over some period of time, growing in the faith, growing in the knowledge of Christ, they turn around and they end up going back and confronting their captors, not with aggression, but with gospel forgiveness. He said, you know, it's amazing the amount of compassion that flowed out of this man. It's a testimony of the mind of Christ within him. He said, you know, these guys that are out here doing all these killings, who committed atrocities, and he details some of them, and it's really just not appropriate for wide listening. But they're absolutely atrocious. He said some of these men have killed for so long, they have done things so heinous that even when you try to talk to them about the gospel, what surprises you is they're actually quite miserable. They're miserable. They don't enjoy life. They don't enjoy what they do, but it's all they know, some of them. And he says, when you begin to work with them about the nature of Christ's forgiveness being real, being total, being absolute, being sufficient, you really have to work with them for a long period of time. But he says to watch these men break down and realize there is forgiveness for the heinousness that they've done, and to seek forgiveness, and then to turn around and go and ask forgiveness to some of the families that they've sinned against in the past. I mean, that's the stuff of Christianity that has marked some of the most heroic chapters of the life of the saints in this world the past 2,000 years. And we're hearing stories of that exact same thing. And what's remarkable here is this is not the result of, this kind of missionary, what's going on behind the scenes. No one really knows about this stuff. This is not the result of Western money. This is not the result of Western influence. This is not the result of some kind of strategy that other people were in on. When you get down to the brass tacks of it, there were some of the bravest men. Most of us will never know their names, will never see their faces. Brave sisters in Christ that have absorbed in their own bodies atrocities of the kinds most of us will never face. And simply by believing the word of God and imbibing the truth of God's word, studying the doctrine, believing in on it, and finding real hope, real comfort, real solace, a real peace that surpasses all understanding in those truths. They have been divinely enabled by nothing other than the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to turn around and do the unthinkable in a region in the land that is completely and entirely hostile to that kind of overture and gracious outreach of arms. And I think we need a strong reminder that even in our own nation, more than anything else, what we need is not so much political relief first. We need a mighty move of the Spirit of God upon our heart, upon our mind. We need our churches to be alive with prayer and with seeking the Lord's face. And really, in our private places of communion with God, asking, do we really believe the things that we say? The doctrines that we know so well and we can correct others with at the drop of a hat, do we really know it? Do we really believe it ourselves? Does it bear fruit in our lives? Does the word dwell in us richly, bearing all manner of good fruit? Because I think there are brothers and sisters who are far more faithful with far less, even in terms of access to the doctrine. And when you see the Spirit at work in the saints of God, it just leaves you humbled like a child, very simple-minded, and just desiring to see more of that reality and that power in our own lives. But it's here. It's here, buried in the northern wilderness reaches of northern Nigeria, in the midst of all this global attention. There are unknown saints, known to Christ, known to the King, known to the Lord of glory, precious to Him, dear to Him, and they are doing mighty exploits for the Lord and in His name.
Hallelujah. We have Kirsten in Lloyd Harbor, Long Island, New York. Kirsten says, is this the most highly persecuted area for Christians on the African continent?
I think that would be the case because we've got a huge population of Christians. The what makes Nigeria unique is that this is the only country, I would say, perhaps in the world, it is in Africa, that is almost evenly matched in terms of Muslims and Christians. In other countries where Christians are being persecuted, the Christians are in the minority. That's not a situation in Nigeria. So on the continent, I think it ranks highest, yes.
Yeah, and sheer population size comes into view as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 200 and, what, 30 million people in this nation? And, I mean, there are more Muslims in Nigeria than Egypt. I mean, just take that into view.
Wow.
So the latest statistics, I believe last year, let's see, in 2022, these are just statistics that are fresh on my mind. I don't have anything in front of me. But of the 6,000 Christians that were annotated, that were martyred explicitly for their faith in Jesus Christ, not as a result of war or famine or some other, you know, economic or political thing, just martyrdom in 2022. Of those 6,000, 5,000 of them were in Nigeria alone, globally. Now, the past year, we're already rounding 7,000. And Nigeria ranks currently, I want to say, in the 70th percentile of all global martyrs for Christendom this year. So if that tells you anything.
Yeah. Praise God. We have Hubert in Spring Valley, Nevada. And Hubert asks, are any of the nominal Christians of Nigeria coming to true saving faith in Christ as a result of the fear of this persecution and turning to our Lord?
Actually, a great question. Do you want to start, Osen?
Yeah, I can't speak with any degree of specificity, but I do believe that there are those who are coming to faith in Christ on account of what is going on. It's important to also highlight the fact that some aspects of Christianity that we complain about in our respective countries, yeah, that it's also found in the north. Referring to water faith, health and wealth, prosperity teaching, it's found in the north as well. But to specifically your question, I have no doubt in my mind that there are those who are coming to faith in Christ on account of these events, but I can't give you any specific data.
Yeah, I'll add here real quick, Chris. OC is giving some perspective here that I want to make sure our listeners back home understand and appreciate. So if you were to go to, say, the Joshua Project, and you were to look up the statistic percentage of Christians living in Nigeria, I think OC quoted, you know, somewhere around maybe 46th percentile. I've seen it as high as 51 on some older demographics. The problem with those percentages is that the vast, vast majority of what is called Christianity in the land of Nigeria is the kind of Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, voodoo witch doctor type of health, wealth, prosperity, gospel, new apostolic reformation, NAR, nonsense that has been exported to the African context. And in particular, when it arrives in Nigeria, it arrives in a very superstitious context where you have traditional Nigerian religion, ancient African mysticism, that these two strains mix. And so you get health, wealth, prosperity gospel mixed with African mysticism, and it creates all sorts of really strange, awful byproducts on the ground where the pastors are functionally no different than witch doctors. They, you know, you pay them and you have to give them seed money and first fruits and all these other things. And, you know, if you're going to remain in good standing, and then the pastor has the power to bless and to curse. They're powerful men of God. Some of them call themselves prophets. Some of them are apostles. Some of these guys are filling stadiums of bamboozled listeners, even as far as the UK. And they have insane followings, and they are out and out cult leaders, and they're not Christian of any kind. Now, that's the kind of Christianity that dominates the South. North, where you have a lot of this persecution, there's much less of that. But it's not all gone. It is up there. One of the things that is actually a big concern, and this is something that we are discussing right now, is there are some And this is not the lion's share, but there are some tribal identities that call themselves Christian simply because one of their ancestors was a professor and they named themselves after biblical names. And so they're not Muslim, therefore by default, they're Christian, but they don't know the gospel. They don't understand the atonement. They don't understand the cross work in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know the doctrine. And so one of the things we want to work on is making sure that all these groups that we're identifying at a rapid rate of speed have access to sound doctrine, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's something we're going to be working on. So continue to pray that we're able to do that. I can tell you, I was in a meeting in the South. This is while persecutions are being persecuted in the North. Some of these health, wealth, prosperity guys are still going on with their nonsense and their dribble, unawakened and insensitive to the reality of those who are truly naming the name of Christ perishing just hours to the north of them. So pray, as this begins to get more light, even for the Southern guys, that the Lord would be pleased to wake up the whole nation to the reality of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those things that are the Lord is blessing in secret may turn to a life-giving flow for the benefit of all nation.
And that just brings a thought to my mind. As far as, since you said that so much of this heresy going on in Nigeria and in Africa in general, because I know Conrad Mbewe in Zambia experiences a lot of this blending of Pentecostalism and African tribal religions and witch doctors and all that. So it's not just in Nigeria. But are you aware of any significant element or any element of the Word of Faith Pentecostals in America or in the UK or anywhere else who may visit Africa on mission trips who rebuke these people, you know, rebuke them for their departing in some way? If they're going into full-blown witch doctor practice, they're in some way differentiating themselves from the more common Word of Faith heresy in the Western world. Are any of them doing that? That you know of?
I can't speak omnisciently. I mean, there's so many different channels of communication and relationships that I really have no idea about. I can tell you, like look at a guy like Benny Hinn. He comes down to the Dunamis Stadium, one of the largest. They call it a church building. It's like a football stadium. Golden Dome.
And where is that?
It's in the capital of the nation in Abuja. And it's just one of those, who is that? Is that Winners? Who is that?
Dunamis.
Yeah, Dunamis. Who is he?
That's the Winners. His name?
No, I couldn't remember the denomination. But the Benny Hinn came down and had some sort of conference crusade there. And when he left, whoever that senior, you know, prophet pastor was, went to the hotel room where they had put Benny Hinn up, rolled himself up like a burrito in Benny Hinn's bed sheets, and laid there for 3 days trying to soak up the anointing.
Wow.
If that tells you anything. So, you know, are these guys coming in and rebuking them? No, not to my knowledge. I highly doubt it. You know, even in Conrad Mbewe, and, you know, we've talked about this. He actually wrote something back in 2013 that got a lot of Nigerians upset with him. He titled it Nigerian Religious Junk. And he basically was saying, look at this stuff, this noxious fumes that's pouring out of Nigeria, and is actually affecting the rest of the continent. It's interesting, if you talk with the guys in Malawi, if you talk with the guys in South Africa, if you talk with the guys in Zambia and Kenya and elsewhere, you would be shocked how much of the issues they're dealing with on the ground is not fueled by the Nigerian issue flowing into their context.
Wow. Let's see. We have Woody in Beatrice, Nebraska. And Woody says, please spell out to us in detail how the Christians in the United States and elsewhere can bless and bring aid to the persecuted Nigerian Christians.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Woody. And OC, I mean, you could weigh in here. Right now, the number one thing to do, and you cannot hear this and think of it like a do-nothing thing. You need to pray. There are going to be a series of meetings that are going to happen really rapidly in the near future. And there will probably be, because one of the things that you need to keep in mind, and this comes from the men on the ground themselves. If you just send aid, take a look at what's going on, for instance, in Gaza right now. Take a look at where the aid is not making it. Take a look at who is actually benefiting and profiting from that aid. If you were to just send resource blindly in at the moment, the likelihood of it all hitting where it needs to go right now is not good. And the likelihood of actually getting in trouble with the wrong people and getting our aid stopped and it not arriving where it actually needs to go is actually kind of high right now. And so we're trying to work that out at a rapid rate of speed to make sure that there are not opportunists taking advantage of resources that actually need to go to those who are being persecuted. So for right now, pray. And once we've had an opportunity to communicate, we would be happy to put that out, whether it's through Heart Cry Channel or something like that.
Yeah, what I'll just add is, if you want to help, you need to try and get in touch with sound, faithful, biblical churches on the ground, and then they can advise us to the best way to help. You don't want to get in touch directly with NGOs or even the camps themselves, because people have been using this situation for personal benefits. So you wouldn't go wrong if you were to come, if you were to get in touch with the Sound Faithful Church that fully cares for the souls of these people, and then you'd be advised as to how best to render that help.
Now, you're talking about churches in Nigeria like Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos.
Yeah, different churches in Nigeria.
Okay. Well, we will repeat that website for your church at the end of the program, and hopefully some of our listeners will respond to that with whatever help they can provide. Perhaps you could, and we'll start with Austin, and then we'll have Pastor Osinachi follow. While you've been there on your mission trip, Austin, can you give us some more anecdotes or some, perhaps it's a bad word, stories of accounts that you have learned about just from meeting people there and even some of the meetings that you've had with persecuted Christians? Can you tell us some more stories of individual people and families and churches?
Without going into specific details, there's not a whole lot more I could get on that front. There are other regions, there are other cities, there are other points of contact that we're in communication with at the moment. Their stories are almost exactly what like the others are that we were meeting with recently. You know, here we've actually been laboring for years in various contexts to bring sound doctrine to the continent, holding large conferences like Lagos Bible Conferences. The conference is growing. We're planting multiple churches in Ipaja, in Abeokuta, in Ibadan, now in Enugu, there's Lekki, there's two faithful Reformed churches up in Abuja. You know, as the Reform movement grows, the hope for the future of Nigeria grows with it. As there are able, mature brothers on the ground here, so increases our opportunity to communicate and to work with those faithful brethren and mature brethren. We're really learning about to greater degrees up in the north. We're thankful for relationships with guys like African Pastors Conferences, which have been in some of these regions and have been a huge blessing. But as far as, you know, additional anecdotes, I don't know if I have anything in that just at this moment. I'll love that you, Pastor Wilson.
There's not much to add really that Pastor Wilson said. It is pretty much the same account. Kidnappings, attacks, deaths, murders, and so on and so forth. So retelling, even if it is from somebody else, is essentially restated all that we have said thus far.
Okay. We have Bella in Saint-Remy or Remy, Quebec, Canada. And Bella asks, has there been more unity amongst Christians for good and even for worse when it comes to unbiblical ecumenism in Nigeria due to desiring more allies against the assaults and terrorism of the Muslims?
That's an interesting question. So there are two bodies, large bodies representing the Christian body in the country. So we've got the Christian Association of Nigeria. It is ecumenical. It includes all churches, Roman Catholics, all sorts of people are in the, under that tent. They've got the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria. And because the Pentecostals are 60 to 70% of the Christian group, so they're a huge body, and they've got that body as well. Now, the interesting thing is that both groups have been, you know, they've been sort of more attacking, they've been maybe diplomatic is the word, you know, regarding the state of things. But it would be this group that would like to, you know, to advocate for dropping denominational and doctrinal distinctives in favor of fighting the common enemy. But they're trying to play on the side of the government, so they're not really speaking about the situation. What I can say for certain is that there have been, this is online, this is on X or Twitter especially, folks have been going out against some of the big mega churches because they are ignoring the situation happening in the north in favor of their large mega programs. So there's no active call for unity regarding this. I think that it is there in bits and pieces, and people truly crying and just gathering their own churches to pray. But you don't have any holistic movement in that regard. We had something, this is many years ago, when we had our last military dictator, and it was a time when people would just set aside their doctrinal differences and would pray that the Lord will depose the man, and the man was eventually deposed. It was killed, it was murdered. We don't know how, I say it was poisoned, but that happened. But at the moment, nothing of that nature has really happened, at least to my understanding or to my knowledge. So far, it's people online actually calling for this to happen, and they are just small fries, so to speak. I don't know whether that answers the question.
Now, when you were mentioning the tight-lipped response from a great number, if not the majority, of Christian leaders there, I use the name Christian just because they identify themselves that way, not necessarily that they're regenerate. But when you say that they are, and maybe I'm misphrasing this, but seeking to toe the party line of the government, what would be, how would you describe the government in Nigeria?
Yeah, so what the government is, it's hard to describe the government. The government is Muslim, both President and Vice President are Muslim. And I think it's safe to say that these Christian bodies are seeking to play it safe. I think that's how best to put it. So they're not speaking as the masses are speaking. They are diplomatic in their speech. They're not necessarily referencing the government in how what they're saying. And I don't think they said towing the party line. I think they're trying to tow a middle ground, you know. Maybe that's what I said, I can't remember. But the diplomatic is the best way to describe their actions and their phrases. And it's people, you know, making inferences from what they have been saying, that perhaps they are trying to not appeal to the government and so on and so forth. But we haven't had meetings with the government and them to agree on something. They are making their own inferences, and one can only read into their statements what they feel that these ones are doing.
Well, we have to go to our final break, and if you have any intention to send in a question, do it immediately, because we are rapidly running out of time. Once again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guests today have been and will continue to be Pastor Austin Huggins of Mount Zion Bible Church in Pensacola, Florida. He's also the vice president of First Love Ministries, which is the parent ministry of First Love Radio, which live streams Iron Sharpens Iron Radio daily. And we also have with us Pastor Osinachi Nwoko, who is the pastor of Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos, Nigeria. We are talking about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. And let's see, we have Bree in Flower Mound, Texas, who asks, I'm not sure if you mentioned this earlier, but is the government of Nigeria, which is Islamic, making any pretense or even genuine efforts to stop the persecution of Christians by their fellow Muslims in Nigeria?
Well, the military and the security apparatus are certainly involved, but I think it's safe to say that they're clearly not doing enough. That if they were, they wouldn't have these killings. We also do not have these people perpetrating this act of violence captured and brought to book. So in the absence of stopping the attacks, in the absence of arresting the perpetrators of the attacks, then you're only left with what is obvious, that they are not doing enough. The government obviously has verbalized that they are doing their best, and it was followed from some remarks. I think there were statements from the government that it would seek to have some conversations with the President of the United States of America. But you can't expect people to be happy when their family members and whole communities are being attacked. One wonders where those who are responsible for the security of the nation. So that the government says they're doing what they can, and we can only take their words for what it's worth, right? Then all of this,
by the way, Bree, I just wanted to let you know, I don't know what church you belong to, but there are two very solid churches not far from Flower Mound in Texas. One of them is Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, pastored by my friend who has been a friend of mine for many years. And you can look up Providence Chapel in Denton. And I highly recommend that congregation. And there's also Denton Bible Church, a Sovereign Grace believing church, much larger church in Denton, Texas. I've attended a Bible conference there. So I just wanted to throw that out there. We have 6 minutes left. If you would like first, Pastor Austin Huggins, to really unburden your heart and let our listeners know what you most want etched in their hearts and minds about this subject, and then we'll have Pastor Osinachi Nwoko follow you with his own thoughts.
Thank you, Chris. Before I do, it does come to mind, and I think it's worth speaking to. There's been a lot of back and forth and questions and asking online, a lot of high-level debate on the nature of the killings, including other Muslims, and that being a clear sign that this is not targeted to Christians per se. But they need to keep in mind the nature of things, tribally, politically, and religiously and otherwise. These Islamic Muslims only attack other Muslims who do not share their convictions and who do not hold to the more faithful Quranic interpretation, what we would call a radical belief system. To them, the enemy is non-Muslim. The enemy is the Christian. But for them, it's just housekeeping to go and kill fellow Muslims who do not share the same militant ethos that they have. So that's something that needs to be kept in mind as well. And those are some things that the brethren have articulated. I think in terms of just unburdening my heart, I think I've done that at a few different points throughout the course of the program. I would just reiterate, dear saints, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. What they are going through is real. We need to keep them before the throne of grace and prayer. And as the Lord gives us opportunity, even relieve them as for able. But we need to remember that the Lord is doing a great and a mighty work, even in these places, despite us. And the Spirit of the Lord empowering the saints of God through an understanding and an application of the Word of God, it is the most powerful world-shaping force on this planet. Not militaries, not governments, not NGOs. And so please continue to pray and fulfill the desire of your brother whose face you can't see and whose name you don't know, that you would pray for his courage, the courage of the men he's training, the courage of the brothers and sisters who are marching with him in all these undisclosed locations, and that the lamb that was slain would receive the rewards of his suffering.
And Osinatri.
Yeah, I think my gladness is that this is being brought to light. And I think the Lord's providence that you would be having this interview. This has been going on, but just because certain persons have brought it to light in the political sphere, then Christians have become concerned. So I just thank you for taking our time to want to interview us and to want to hear for yourself and the things that have been going on. And as Austin has said, let's pray. I think that that's the burden. I think that the burden is that the churches would pray, the churches would extend a hand of fellowship to faithful churches here to lend whatever help that they're able to lend. But this help, let's just know we're clear. How should we strengthen the churches? How should we strengthen the saints? How should we strengthen those who are in the throes of affliction and seeking to establish them firm in the faith? You know, so that's what I would say. But thank you. Keep doing what you're doing and letting others know that they ought to point their attention. And it's make our time during the prayer meetings to lift up the brothers and the sisters and the entire nation at this crucial moment in time.
Amen. Well, folks, if you want to find out more about how you can specifically be of help to the Christians in Nigeria, contact Sovereign Grace Bible Church in Lagos, Nigeria at sgbc.ng, sgbc.ng. And also, I want to remind you of the church and ministries that my friend Pastor Austin Huggins leads there in Pensacola, Florida, MountZion.org, MountZion.org, also ChapelLibrary.org, ChapelLibrary.org, and FirstLoveMinistries.org, FirstLoveMinistries.org. Thank you, brethren, for making time to be on the program today in spite of your busy schedule there in Nigeria. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.